Hey again, everybody. This is Travis Barrett and Drew Bonifant from the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel. Day number... Drew, help me out. I'm losing track. Is this four?
This is Tuesday, so this has to be what, day four?
Day four of the high school basketball tournaments. We've hit that point in the week where it's become a blur. You know, it's a good thing we take a lot of notes. So we've had a night here. Class C South girls quarterfinals at the Augusta Civic Center. They're wrapping up on the floor below us. Number one Booth Bay having no trouble at all with number nine Trape. It's 45-16 with 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter. I think we can go ahead and call that one.
This is going pretty much the way I think people expect this to go. It's Booth Bay pulling away and looking like they're in for an easy night.
Yeah, it was close when it was 3-2, and then it hasn't been close since. But the reason that we're interested in this game, obviously, is that fourth-seeded Madison, they beat number 12 Mount Abram 62-27 in a rout in the first game of this evening session. In the afternoon, our other two quarterfinals, number six Richmond, a mild upset of number three Old Orchard Beach, 33-30, and number two Monmouth, the defending regional champion and defending state champion in Class C, they beat number 10 St. Dom's, 58-37. So, the first game of the session, of the afternoon, at 2:30 this afternoon, Richmond wins by three. That's the closest game we've had so far. But I think, I don't know if there's many surprises.
No, that didn't feel like too big of an upset. Maybe it did just because Old Orchard Beach beat Richmond last year when Richmond was the higher seed, so maybe you thought it was just going to be kind of history repeating itself. But Richmond's had a good season. It wasn't surprising to see them. It was surprising the way that they won. We can get into that in a bit, but to see them actually just see them get the win and get the result wasn't all that surprising. And then everything else pretty much held serve. Booth Bay looks like they're in for an easy win here. Monmouth pulled away. Madison pulled away. Not too many shockers there like we had with the boys yesterday.
No, I think you're right. And I think one of the things that, you know, again, we thought, despite the fact that Mount Abram had beaten Madison there at the end of January, late in the regular season at Madison, I don't think anybody thought that the Roadrunners were going to be able to do it again. So, yeah, I think Monmouth is just, we were talking about it a little bit, you and I, during the games. They're an interesting team in that they don't seem to create a lot of buzz, and I don't think their coach seems to mind, but that they're basically the same team they had a year ago, and they are right on course to be right back where they were a year ago.
They kind of remind me, we were talking about this earlier, but they kind of remind me of what the Spurs have going for them when they're good in the NBA, which is that they don't have that flashy player. They don't have that person who's going to score, you know, 30 points. They're not playing at breakneck speed or something like that. They just execute what they do well. It's always movement without the ball. It's always finding the open player. It's using screens. I think Scott Wing does a really good job of coming up with a game plan that's going to work for his players, and then his players just they have so much continuity and so much familiarity with each other. They just execute it right off the bat so well.
Well, and I think it's funny because I asked him, and so we closed last night's podcast, and I lost my mind for a second. I lost my head. Lost track of where I was. And I said, so Class C South Girls, is that basically the Booth Bay Invitational? And I think it was Travis Lazarczyk who said, well, except for Monmouth. And so I told Scott that story after his win. And he kind of chuckled. And he said he doesn't seem to mind. And we talked exactly about what you just said about there's not a lot of flash. He's a pretty quiet guy. He thinks that trickles down to his captains. You know, Tia Day, Abby Allen, they're not flashy people. They're not big talkers. They're not look at me kids. And I think it's trickled down to the whole program. And I think so, you know, look, Booth Bay is a very impressive team this year. But it is important to note that they're basically the same team they were a year ago. Monmouth is basically the same parts they were a year ago. Monmouth won a year ago. So overlook Monmouth at your own peril, I guess is the point I'm getting at.
It would be foolhardy to say that, to look at what Booth Bay has done and think that they're going to win this thing just because of how they look, considering that they have the team, like you said, the team that beat them last year is pretty much back, ready to go. Were you impressed with the way Monmouth won this game, considering that, you know, they have a player in Tia Day who was player of the tournament last year, and I think is widely considered to be their best player.
Yeah.
Didn't have a field goal today.
Yeah.
I mean, were you surprised they were able to win and win the way they did with, you know, without their best player having a grade A day?
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about when we do our little what did we learn tonight, and I think for certain what I learned about Monmouth is Tia doesn't have to go out and score 25 points. They can still win. Like you said, she had no field goals. She finished with 5 points on 5 foul shots or 3 points on 3 fouls, something in that neighborhood. I asked Scott about that, and he had said, essentially, like, it's happened a few times this year. But what you'll find is if you look deeper into the stats, she'll finish with 14 assists, a bunch of rebounds. And, you know, even though she missed a few long-range shots early in the game and then kind of started passing up shots, but it's not like she didn't have an impact on the game. It's not like you're like, I didn't even realize that Tia Day was still on the floor.
Yeah, she's one of those players where if she's going to have a low-scoring day, it's not going to be because she's going 1-for-15 to the field or something. It's because she's getting herself involved in a different way. Now, she might struggle to start and then just kind of say, okay, my shot's not there today. I'm going to have to do something else to help this team. And she's got such a good skill set. You know, she's quick. She's got a good vision on the floor. She's good on the defensive end, so she can get stuff going. She could put her shot to the side and still be a winning player for the team.
Yeah. What did you learn today? And I'm gonna give you a caveat to that. What did you learn about Richmond today?
I think that they had kind of the same thing. We learned the same thing about them that we did the Richmond boys last night, which is that they don't need their best player to be their best player.
Yeah.
Richmond boys got a big win without Zach Small playing like a player of the year candidate. When with Matt Ryan's having a quiet day, Caleb Densmore stepped up and had a big day for the Bobcats. And today it was Bree Lancaster, who was... Densmore was more out of nowhere than Lancaster, which she's always the second or third leading scorer. But with Sydney Tilton really having the Old Orchard Beach defense zeroed in on her, she had to go through double and triple teams. She had a 6'2 person there who was kind of right on her whenever she got the ball. There just weren't going to be a lot of points to go through to get by going through Tilton. They needed somebody else to step up. And Bree Lancaster, she scored 13 points. I think she led all scorers. And that surprised me that they could have a game where Sydney Tilton wasn't scoring 20 points and grabbing 14 rebounds and still beat a team that was expected to go deep this year.
Yeah, I think, I guess the only other team that we would want to, if we're doing the what we learned, the other local team for us, obviously, is Madison Girls. And I thought tonight they had a bit more inside-outside presence than I've noticed from them. Their guards are very good. You know, Sydney LeBlanc gets her points. Ashley Emery gets some points usually, has assists. They generate steals and transition. I thought early on in the game they really wanted to pound the ball inside to Lauren Hay, and Hay rose to the occasion. Yeah. She finished with more rebounds in the first half, 10, than the entire Mount Abram team had in the first half. She had more points in the first half, 14, than the entire Mount Abram team had in the first half. So she was able to really impart her will on a game. I think if Madison has any hope of getting beyond the semifinals and what almost definitely is going to be a matchup with Booth Bay, unless we're about to, podcast live the comeback of the century in the main high school basketball tournaments. If they've got any hope of keeping Booth Bay on their toes, Madison's going to need both phases of their game. And so, but having said that, that was a really tough game to get a read on, despite the lopsided score. Do you want me to say it, or do you want to say it? I'm happy to take the heat.
You could say it. I'm pretty sure I'll agree with you.
I'm going to go front runner for probably the worst officiated game of the tournament. I mean, it was horrendous. It was travels before anybody had the ball. It was jump balls before, both teams had even touched it. It was not a good night. It was ticky-tack. It was girls getting cleaned out on shoulder tackles at half court that had no call, and then ticky-tacks. Ugh. It was awful. How's that? Did I do it justice?
That's pretty accurate. No, with games like that, you always wonder, is it being called too tightly, or is it really the players just committing infractions all over the place? And they played sloppy. This was a sloppy game.
It was a sloppy game.
You always hear that term rock fight. It was that kind of thing where it just seemed like there was nothing done easily throughout the course of the game.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that there's just got to be a level of, I don't want to advocate, intentionally don't go by the rule book or some things, but if somebody's passing the ball and their pivot foot slides a bit on the pass, don't call the travel. It just slows things down. It's not called in the spirit of the rule. you know, if somebody is constantly walking with the ball, by all means, call the travel. Yeah, yeah. You can't do that. But if you're calling a call just because by the letter of the rule,
yeah,
it's being committed, but it's not really affecting the play at all, it's like calling pass interference on a Hail Mary. That's not what the rule is there for.
Now, it's funny. I would say that Madison Mount Abram game was the type of game. It's the reason I can't watch the NBA.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I always say about the NBA, there's a whistle every other trip down the floor. In this game, there was a whistle every trip down the floor. In some cases, there were two whistles every trip down the floor. And it had no flow. It was really painful to watch.
It had, and that's not the kind of game where you can, you know, when you're trying to present this game as something like, hey, come here and spend a whole day watching basketball.
Yeah.
This isn't the game you're talking about. It's slow. Like you said, it's slow. There's no rhythm. It's you know, there's 5 minutes left to go in the quarter, and you feel like you look up 10 minutes later, and you've lost, 40 seconds have gone by.
Yeah.
And it's, we talked about, there were a lot of jump balls called in that game.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like whenever a player from each team got their hands to the ball at one point, immediately jump ball. And it's just, you know, we saw in this Booth Bay game, early on there was a case where there was a ball, just a situation they would have called a jump ball, where players were grappling for it, ball slips loose, somebody grabs it and keeps possession going. That's what we look for more than just looking to blow the whistle as soon as you get an opportunity to blow the whistle.
Yeah, we saw plenty of that in that game. Mm-hmm. Can we move on?
I think we better do that. We don't want the.
We'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah,
there won't be any seats for us.
Exactly.
So let's look briefly at the semifinal matchups that are going to come up here for the CSouth girls on Thursday. I'm losing track of my days already, but so Madison, Booth Bay. Does Madison have a shot?
They have a shot because Booth Bay, what we saw, and we were talking about how Monmouth won a game without Tia Day having a great day.
Yep.
We saw Booth Bay win a game where maybe it wasn't their best. They went the first 3 minutes or so of this game without a point.
Yeah.
Still ended up scoring 18 points in the first quarter. So this has kind of been a case where they've won without operating at 100%.
With a game like this,
with Booth Bay, who shoots as much as they do, if they're cold, Madison can take advantage. Madison has both guard play and forward play, like you said, with Lauren Hay. So I'd still give the edge to Booth Bay pretty comfortably, but does Madison have a chance? Yes.
Yeah, I think for Madison, they're going to have to, when they're really good is when their full court press is working and they're creating some turnovers and getting some easy layups out of that. They're going to have to do that. I mean, they're going to have to be, it's that the old cliche, they're going to have to be perfect at everything. If they're missing foul shots and, missing easy shots, not taking advantage of any opportunities they get, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. So Richmond Monmouth, I got to be honest, I don't see Richmond having a heck of a chance there in that one.
No, with these games, you always like to think of a way that, if this goes their way and that goes their way, maybe it's close. But you just saw with their games this season, Richmond just can't keep up with Monmouth over the course.
Yeah,
they're not
athletic enough.
It's either athleticism or it's depth. They just burn out.
Yeah.
Monmouth will get to a point where they'll be pushing the pace in the third quarter, and Richmond will just be out of gas. It's already happened twice, and Coach Mike Ladner has said that. He said when we get into a track with them, we're not going to win.
Yeah.
And Scott Wynn, being the coach that he is, you just know that he's seen that, and he's going to be forcing Richmond. Okay, until you can stop, until you can stop us this way, we're going to keep doing it. So it's just the scores that we've seen between those two teams makes it really hard to believe that a third time could be the charm.
Yeah. So we get ready for tomorrow, which is a full day here. It begins at 10 a.m. and it goes right through until, 10 p.m. tomorrow night, if you're lucky. We've got some D-South semifinals getting underway in the morning. And then the afternoon session is the Class A North. Lose my mind. This game is just, I'm totally distracted. Squirrel, squirrel. A North girls in the afternoon, A North boys in the evening, all semifinal matchups. I continue to look forward to that A North girls bracket. I thought all along it was had the potential to be really, really entertaining. And I think the semifinals we're going to get tomorrow, Messalonsky against Skowhegan in the first game, Hamden against Lawrence in the night game, the top four seeds all got through. I think any one of those four teams, like we talked about last week, can make a case.
Yeah, that's Skowhegan, Meslonsky in particular. Every time I think of which team I think is going to win it, I then think of a reason the other team is going to win it. It just feels like a pick 'em. I think Meslonsky probably has the. I mean, if we're going by top tier talent, I don't know if Skowhegan has a player as good as, you know, a Gabriel Wiener or an Allie Turner, but Skowhegan's got just so much. It's weird, this being a team as small as they are, they have so much depth. It just seems like everybody who's on that team is able to play value, to play big minutes and play that sort of role well.
Yeah.
So it just it seems like I just can't imagine that game being a game that gets away from either one of them.
Some interesting subplots to that game that you can read more about on centralmaine.com. If you go to the website, Drew has a great feature on Gabrielle Wiener and kind of her emergence from being, you know, a freshman last year, kind of looking for her role, to now really being one of the best players in Class A North. We also have a story up there on the Skowhegan girls and what they're doing to kind of pay tribute to the girls basketball team in Parkland, Florida. Which will not play in a tournament in result of last week's just horrible mass shooting at the Stoneman Douglas school. So those are interesting subplots. And then I think if we look at Lawrence and Hamden just briefly, I think Hamden's probably my pick to win that game. But I felt all along that when Lawrence shoots the ball well, and they've got a few girls that can do it, they can be in any game.
It seems like it's going to come down to, if Lawrence has an answer for Bailey Donovan, they'll win. If they don't, they'll lose. Because when Hamden was in trouble against Garner, they just gave it to Donovan. She's 6'3". She uses her size well in the post. And Garner just really couldn't keep up, really couldn't put him away. So if Lawrence is playing on just doing, you know, a one-on-one thing with Donovan, or maybe just occasional help, it's hard to imagine that not being a big day for her and a big day for Hamden.
Yeah. Quickly, before we go to the A-North boys, I do want to mention B North up in Bangor. Travis Lazarczyk will be up there tomorrow. Some good ones. We've got Class B North boys. You've got Winslow against Herman. And in the girls, you've got Winslow against John Baps. Just really some tremendous matchups. Also, there is a preview at centralmaine.com/sports looking at both of those games, kind of the impact of they're tough tests for both Winslow teams. And I think we're going to learn a lot about both of them. Of course, it's that time of year, but you're going to find out what those teams are made of tomorrow.
Yeah, Winslow boys go against a team in Herman I think deserves to be considered one of the top teams in the state. They're undefeated. They've been pretty much rolling all year. But the Winslow boys are playing really well, and they are just have that feel to them. You know, they come through in big moments. They're just a team that no matter who they're playing, they'll get into trouble, and then they'll find a solution to that trouble, and they'll work themselves out of it. I mean, Miranda Cook in one of the last games of the regular season had them pinned by double-digit points with just a couple minutes left. Winslow came back and won that game. And on the girls' side, Winslow just has so many people who can get hot from downtown that you just can't count them out of a game, because they can knock down three-pointers on three straight possessions, or five three-pointers in a quarter, and just be right back in it against anybody. So I wouldn't count either one of them out. Underdogs, but not out.
Yep, I would agree with that. So then you come back to Augusta tomorrow night. And A-North boys, their semifinals, Madomic against Nokomis. We have a great feature story up there about Andrew Haining from Nokomis, really kind of being the consummate team player they really look to kind of fill some roles in behind the superstar players, if you will, of Smestad and Hartsgrove. So you want to check that out. I think Nokomis is going to win that game easily. Am I wrong?
Well, first off, I mean, you can tell a good coach by if they really value the kind of player that Andrew Haining is, because we always focus on the stars this time of year, but it's those guys who will go in there and get you some dirty rebounds, you know, make some, you know, passes that don't get the assist. They're just kind of setting somebody up. Those are the guys you need. But back to the question you asked to go into this. You just asked me about.
It's been a long day. I'm gonna cut you some slack. I said, am I nuts to think that Nokomis is gonna win that one easy?
No, with Hartsgrove playing Zach Hartsgrove playing the way that he has, and with guys like, you know, Perry and Smestad, backing them up. It's just there's just so much talent on that side of the ball that if they come out and they're firing, this game could get away from Dominic pretty quickly.
Yeah, I always feel like when you get the big upset, the big revenge upset, like when Dominic had, I think it's tough to bounce back. Tough to rebound for that second game. It's a whole emotional letdown. The other game, of course, is Coney and Hamden. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's no upset there. I told you, it's been a long week. Coney Hamden. How would you? I feel like Hamden put up its stinker and held on, and I think now I'm worried for Coney a little bit. So talk me out of it.
Hamden is 0-3 against Coney in this in the tournament.
You just changed my mind.
There you go.
You just changed my mind.
And the last year was pretty much the same story. It was a Coney team that was dangerous if they got hot, but inconsistent, playing a Hamden team that was, I think, the 2 seed last year, and Coney beat them. I'll tell you this. Coney won't be afraid of Hamden. There won't be any intimidation factor there. Hamden's a good team, probably a better team overall if you look at the pieces than Coney, but this is Coney's gonna be very confident that they're gonna come through with the game plan and the execution to beat Hamden. This might be a game where it kind of starts to get away, especially if Coney has to kind of get desperate with fouls and presses and everything like that. But I think we're gonna be looking at this game at halftime thinking this could go either way.
You know, it's funny because when I walked in here today, I thought, man, we're right smack dab in the doldrums of tournament week. Like, more quarterfinals. It feels like there's no end in sight. But you got me fired up.
Yeah.
I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm ready for semifinals. I think semifinals to me are, you're kind of, it's much more rare to get the 30-point blowout. It can happen. I mean, it certainly can happen. But I just think there's a lot more at stake. And the teams, they've played a game in this situation now. They kind of know what to expect. They scouted each other. You're not talking about a matchup from a month and a half ago. You're talking about, like, 3 days ago. So I think tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Whether you go to Bangor or whether you're here in Augusta, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, by now you've weeded out the teams that are there because they played a weak schedule and they got a high seed or something like that. Everybody who's now playing has won a game in this building under pressure. They've beaten a good team to do it. So these are all the real deals right now.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Listen, if you need anything at all, centralmaine.com/sports. Check us out on our Facebook page, KJMS Sports. There's videos, stories, analysis, podcasts, photo galleries. I think Drew's lunch menu is even on there. Is that?
Last I checked.
Last I checked, it was on there. So there's 2 minutes to go here in the final Class C South quarterfinal, final quarterfinal game of the week here in Augusta. I don't want to spoil it for you, so if you DVR the game, turn the volume down for a second. 59-37, Booth Bay all over Trape with a minute 51 to go. It's never over. I mean, it could happen, right? Stranger things have probably not happened, actually. Drew, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Everybody, thanks. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Portland Glass for making all the content free on the website this week. And we will see you back here tomorrow for day number 5.